You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Mo Szyslak, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, Donnie, Peter, why don't you boys stop by the bar after the show for a couple of duffs and some flaming Moes? First round is on me, and by on me, I mean you're paying for it.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, June 14th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half. That is certainly your responsibility. Hope you all had a very good weekend. We got a lot of stuff to do today. We'll quickly start off with the biggest fear about the Brooklyn Nets has reared its ugly head. No Harden, no Irving. As great as Kyrie is, or as great as Kevin is, they're not going to win if one of them doesn't come back. And by the look of Kyrie Irving's ankle, I don't think it's going to be him. So that would mean that they would have to force back James Harden well before the requisite time that he's going to need to fully heal. Because remember, he missed 18 games and still wasn't right and still ended up re-injuring the leg. So if they force him back for game five, he's going to be playing probably at well less than 100% efficacy. And at least they'd have a chance, though, because you saw yesterday after Kyrie Irving stepped on Antetokounmpo's foot, Kevin Durant can't do it alone. No great player can do it alone.
Not anymore.
And the Nets just weren't spreading the ball around either. It was get it to Durant, get it to Durant. Now, I'll give Steve Nash and his coaching staff credit that they'll figure something out better than what they had for that game, but I don't think they're going to win this series unless one of those two guys come back.
Well, do you remember this conversation we had, Michael, several times when I sort of said, it's hard for me to picture, like, how can we go on assuming you're going to have the big three for the playoffs when we were never able to see it during the regular season?
Right.
I mean, it's not as if they were just resting during the regular season.
No, they were hurt.
They were hurt. All three of them were hurt at different times, mostly Kyrie and KD. So the unfortunate thing was that it's hard to just assume they're going to be fully available to you just because the word playoffs exists. And I really feel for Kyrie. That's a terrible sprain. You hate seeing – it just looked awful, and it looked incredibly painful, and you hope he's able to come back. Fortunately, x-rays were negative. But also you want to give credit to the defense in Milwaukee too. They got physical with KD on the perimeter, and they did a job on him and shut him down when it most counted. So this is going to be a very tough spot. And, Michael – I guess we'll find out, you know, whether or not James Harden was in fact in case of emergency break glass, or if it's just not going to be an option for them to go to him.
Yeah, I think they won't force him. He'll want to come back, but you know, he's one big move away from, you know, blowing it out. And you know, just one aside, that's not even about the series. Load management. Let's rest the guys. Don't play them back. They still get hurt. Every one of them. Giancarlo Stanton still gets hurt. They get hurt. So why don't you just play them? Play them. They're going to get hurt anyway. So all the load management that you have with Kyrie Irving, or he's missing time for personal reasons, you step on a foot, boom, your ankle's going to get sprained. All the load management. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Play them. Play them until they get hurt. Instead, you're babying them, and they still get hurt. You're stopping pitch counts, innings limits, and they still blow out their elbows. They still blow out their shoulder. So how's it working? Tell me, how is it working?
You wonder if it hurts. You wonder if it hurts and makes it worse. It makes guys' bodies less prepared for the wear and tear. I mean, listen, the Kyrie thing's a freakish thing. It happens in basketball all the time. Antetokounmpo's foot lands right there just before Kyrie lands on it. It's going to happen. But you're right, Michael. We're playing all of these games, and when it's all said and done, what does it really ultimately do?
Doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything, and now it's a best of three, two games in Brooklyn. But I don't care that the Nets have home court because as great as I think Kevin Durant is, he's not great enough to beat the Bucks alone because the Nets have good role players, but they're role players. And Joe Harris has not been playing that great. So he's a level above a role player. But when you put other guys in positions where they have to be great, they're not great because they're not starters. They're role players.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a war for most of that game, and then it just got out of hand. And that's going to happen when you lose a player in-game. Now, losing Harden in game one didn't hurt as much because you still had Kyrie and you still had Durant. But now after losing Kyrie without Harden in the middle of a game, early in the game, it's difficult to make the necessary adjustments. So now you get ready for game five, for this pivotal game five, guys, that if the adjustments aren't made and you lose, I think the series is over. Unless they get one of these guys back. Because, like Peter said, let's give the Bucks credit. They played great D, and I thought Mark Jackson said it during the game. They now have given the Bucks a reason to believe. So now the Bucks are all square. Now they go back to Brooklyn, just have to steal one of them. And if they're able to get game five, guys, they've got a home game to clinch the series. And the Nets will be facing elimination, possibly with two of their biggest pieces out of the lineup. So this Bucks team is good. They certainly took advantage. And now we'll see if the Nets can make the necessary adjustments in Game 5. If they don't, they're going to be facing elimination and probably done.
And it's also funny when somebody gives you the opportunity, well, you want the Nets or you want the field? Now, we think the Nets are great when they're right, but the way sports is, somebody's going to get hurt. So I think the prudent thing is to always take the field because something like this could happen. The Nets healthy are unbeatable. I've said that a million times. You can't stop them. And I think if even they get one of those two guys back, I don't think the Bucks could beat them. But one, that's a different story. Now, we're going to have Sarah Kustak of the Yes Network on at 3 o'clock, so we will revisit the Nets. But we start off today with the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. And the city of brotherly love was not very brotherly to the Yankees. A heart-wrenching loss on Saturday, and then they didn't show up yesterday. They didn't show up. And there are issues with this team. I don't want to go through it chapter and verse again. If you listen to the show, you know what I said. And a lot of scouts now, although they're not attaching their name to these comments, are talking to writers and saying, this is one of the most unathletic teams that you've ever seen. They can do one thing and they can hit home runs. So yesterday, Judge is out because he had back spasms. Stanton's out because he's so fragile that they can't even have him play the outfield. So your two most dangerous hitters are out of the lineup. Your number three hitter in the lineup was Rougned Odor, who does a lot of swinging and missing. And when you watch him on an everyday basis, and this is not to attack Rougned Odor, but you see why the Texas Rangers cut him and they're paying his salary for the next 2 years. Because he swings and misses so much, and you're just keeping him around because he might run into a fastball every now and then and hit into the seats. He has six home runs. And if that's okay for you, then that's okay for you. But the one problem that we worried about was when the hitting started to come around, and the hitting has come around except for yesterday. It looked awful against Arenola. Is that the pitching is going to return to earth. And that's exactly what's happened. So now they're scoring. There were five straight games where they scored five or more runs, and they had more than double-digit hits, and they were 2-3 because the ERA of their starters was 6.6. And then yesterday they had a rare bad start for Domingo Germán. He didn't have it, couldn't locate his breaking ball. He was getting hit, and everybody's going to have a bad game, so I'm not going to jump him for that. And they lost 7-0. Again, didn't compete. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't trying to compete, but there was nothing there. They looked dead. But there's one thing from yesterday's game that stood out to me. I don't know how much of the game you guys caught. It happens all too often. And I am one of the people. I'm not blaming the coaches. I'm not blaming Aaron Boone. Because I know that's the easy thing for everybody to do. You're down 7-0. And Rougned Odor opens up the inning with a double. The next ball, I believe it was off the bat of Urshela, is a ground ball to short. And Odor tries to go to third and he's out. It's inexcusable. These are veteran ball players. You watch a Little League game, it's drilled into kids from their coaches. You do not advance on a ball that's hit in front of you. It's inexplicable and unacceptable. And when scouts say they're not an athletic team, well, they're not a very smart baseball IQ team either. Because you can't say it's an isolated incident. That one play has happened at least four times that I can remember in the last month. They've been caught 31 times making outs on the bases. The major league average for a team is 17. The next closest team is 23. So we can talk about all those things, and I've always said over and over and over again, I will never, ever criticize an athlete for a physical mistake. You go 0 for 4, you strike out, you know, I couldn't do it. You go 1 for 10 from the field in basketball, well, I couldn't do it. Now, it's not optimum, but people do fail physically. But when you fail mentally, the team's not clicking on all cylinders for some reason. And again, the easy thing is to blame Reggie Willits, who teaches the base running, or to blame Aaron Boone, he doesn't have the team properly motivated. How about the players? How could they be so bad fundamentally as to try to advance to third in a game that you're losing 7-0 on a ball hit in front of you? And it's happened over and over and over again. And you wonder why they're one game over 500. And now Yankee fans are going to call up and go, well, can I worry now? I'll tell you this. If they continue to play like this, you could worry. Can they still make the playoffs? Of course they could still make the playoffs. But look up, everybody, and look up Yankees, too. It's June 14th. Do you know where your team is? I do. It's in fourth place, 8.5 behind the first place Rays. Don, this is not an easy fix. If guys have no baseball IQ whatsoever, how do you make that play over and over and over again?
I would be really worried if I was Hal Steinbrenner, because you read social media, Michael, and what I'm hearing from Yankee fans, John Boy even tweeted this out on Sunday. Team's unwatchable. And
except for the broadcasters, who are really good.
Well, that's great, Michael, and I love you, but you know, people aren't going to be that interested in watching an average team. And yesterday was a perfect example. You asked the question, I don't know if you caught any. Well, I didn't really catch a lot. You know, I had the Mets and Padres, and that game ended up being a 7-2 loss, but the Mets had a 2-1 lead going into the sixth inning looking for the sweep of San Diego. 3 o'clock, I had Nets-Bucks. I had Islanders-Lightning. You know, you're going to lose a lot of faceoffs, Michael, if your team's unwatchable. You know, so what's going to happen now moving forward? I mean, there were 30,000 people at Citi Field on Friday. They're starting to open things up here. You've got the other team across town that's an exciting team that's in first place. They're winning games. All right. Even the loss yesterday, Peraza hits the 2-run home run in the fifth inning, take a 2-1 lead, and then obviously Familia had the meltdown in the sixth. But you know, they still took 2 out of 3 from a really good San Diego team. You got playoff basketball, you got playoff hockey. Michael, you're gonna start losing a lot of faceoffs here, and is it gonna start to affect the bottom line if all of a sudden they're not a destination in sports anymore? Now, I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, but when you've got Yankee fans, when you have people that follow this team, diehard fans, saying this is unwatchable and there's other things to watch, does Hal Steinbrenner look at this and say, I've got to do something. I've got to shake this up? Because the one thing fans don't want to hear, Michael, is we can't – that he's unfireable. They're not firing Boone. They're not firing Cashman. You can only blame the players so much. You know, a lot of fans are going to sit there and complain about Rougned Odor. They got him off the scrap heap.
These players are immovable. Unless you're going to make a deal, Michael, who do you think they're going to blame if the players don't know how to run bases and don't know how to make plays and are unathletic? They're going to blame Brian Cashman. And if the fan base finds out that Brian Cashman's on scholarship and isn't going anywhere, how do you think the fans are going to react to that?
Well, that's weak with regards to things like base running mistakes. I'm sorry. How could that honestly be an Aaron Boone thing? When, as Michael said, that's a mistake that's corrected when you're 12. Is that really something? Just to your point, Don, because the players are immovable, we have to blame Boone for that?
But let's be honest here, okay? And we're all Boone fans, and Michael's in an impossible spot. But I'm just talking from a fan perspective. What do we say in football, Peter, all the time? When a team commits a bunch of penalties, do we blame the players? No, we blame the coach, right? We blame the structure of the team that they commit as many penalties as we do. How often do we rip the player? Do we rip the offensive lineman for committing the holding penalty? When they have seven holding penalties and it kills drives, what do we quit? We kill the offensive coordinator, we kill the coach. We do it. That's just the way sports is. And a lot of guys get fired that don't really deserve to be fired, but you do it because you can't just get rid of all the players. So, yeah, probably it's weak sauce, Peter, to blame Boone. All right, so can't blame Boone because he can only do what he can do with the players. All right, well, let's blame the guy that got the play. Well, you can't blame Brian Cashman because he won all those championships and he's part of the family. So then the fans are beating themselves in the head because they've got a team that's one game above 500, 8.5 games out, and they can't moan and groan about anything because nobody's going anywhere.
You know, it's funny, the bright spots they had were two wins against, a dreadful Minnesota Twins team, and everybody was getting all giddy about it. And then they crashed down to earth in game three, but they've lost, they lost that one game, the last game to Tampa Bay, which I think might have really turned things around for the bad because they'd won those two middle games, and you have Gerrit Cole starting in game four. And you go, wow, we're going to beat the team with the best record, three out of four. You lose that game. Then you lose three in a row to the Red Sox. So that's four straight. Then you win the first two against Minnesota. Then you lose the last one against Minnesota. And then you lose two in a row to Philly. And I got to tell you what. As Don's saying, and I believe that this is when it will happen if anything happens. When the bottom line is affected. When the stadium is open to, 95% and people aren't there, then that's affecting the bottom line. And when you're not putting a product that's entertaining on the field, then that will force people to make changes. I don't know what changes will be made. But just reading social media when I got home yesterday, Girardi totally outmanaged Boone. Well, how? I watched every pitch of that two-game series. Where did he outmanage him? He outmanaged him because Aaron Nola stuck it up their nose? Is that how he outmanaged him? Because Domingo Germán didn't pitch well? That's Aaron Boone's fault? Aaron Boone's team, we all would be telling a different story. They fought back from 4-0 down with one out in the first inning. That's how bad Tyone was. And they tied the game at 7-7, a dramatic 3-run home run by LeMahieu. Then Boone brings in Chapman, and Chapman gives up a run on a bunt and an infield single. That's Boone being outmanaged by Girardi. You people got to come back to reality. Again, if you want to blame the coaching staff and the manager for the team seemingly not being engaged, go at it. But don't tell me he was outmanaged. Nonsense.
Well, you know, what they're saying when they do that, Michael, is that the Phillies are being managed by the guy that got them the Game 7 of the League Championship Series and got fired for the effort. That's what they're doing. Right?
I get the history of it, but he didn't outmanage Aaron Boone.
But again, you're looking at it logically. They're looking at it. We got swept by the guy that wasn't good enough to manage us. Meanwhile, we haven't been able to get as far as we got when we had Joe, because Joe took a team that was probably not deserving of go to Game 7 of the League Championship Series and got them with a whisker of going to the World Series. And Boone came in here, and now they've digressed. Now we're just wondering if they're going to be able to make the playoffs. So I think that's where that comes from.
Well, wherever it comes from, I believe it's ill-advised. You could say, hey, Girardi was so bad, whatever the case, whatever you want to do. You want to fight Cashman on that. But I'll say this again, and I said this 2 weeks ago when they were struggling then. I don't think this is a Boone problem. This is a roster problem. This is a roster with no athletes on it, none, except for Judge. They get hurt. They are obviously not that high in baseball IQ. And I said it before, if you have to blame somebody, you got to blame the front office. They put this team together. And I'm a Brian Cashman fan. This is a poorly constructed team. They rolled the dice on a couple of things. Now, in fairness to Brian, he's working with a dictate from above not to go over 210. Now, I don't even blame the ownership for that. $205 million in payroll should be plenty good enough to win. Look at Tampa Bay. They do it with 60. Red Sox are doing it with less than 205. So please don't tell me that hamstrung them that much. This is a poorly constructed roster. There's nothing you could do. Look at the bench the other day. They had a pinch hit. It was yesterday. They had a pinch hit Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade was the pinch hitter. Chris Gittens was a pinch hitter. Chris Gittens has never had a hit in the major leagues. Tyler Wade, you look at him, he's got a lot of skills. He's not a pinch hitter, a guy you pull off the bench. They had Stanton, couldn't play. He was relegated to be a pinch hitter. So they pinch hit for him. They pinch hit him on Saturday. I believe he's 2-for-30 as a pinch hitter in his career. Not a pinch hitter. So in National League ballparks, because you're so afraid to put him in the outfield, he's a non-player. You might see him in a pinch hitting appearance, which he's terrible at. I can't knock Judge. Judge has played more games than any Yankee. And he had back spasms and played on Saturday, and they decided to rest him yesterday. But take a look at that lineup they ran out there yesterday. Rougned Odor, released by the Texas Rangers, one of the worst teams in baseball, was batting third for the Yankees. So you're going to blame Aaron Boone on that. Again, I never, Don knows this and annoys him somehow. I don't advocate for anybody to be fired. But this is not a great team right now. They could be listening in Buffalo. They could be getting angry. Look in the mirror, baby. You're one game over 500. You're on pace to win 84 games. You know what that is? Barely average. So either they go off on a, what's it, like 90 games left? They got to go what? 55 and 25? 55 and 35? Probably more than that. So they got to go off on a run. And you tell me, looking at this lineup, do you see it going off on a run right now? Yeah, they were hitting better. But everything has to be looked through a prism of reality. They hit better against whom? The Minnesota Twins. Then they rallied against one of the terrible bullpens in baseball. And this is a team. Every single one of you know it. We all felt good about them when they swept the White Sox. Oh, this is it. This is the team. White Sox, best team in the American League. We just swept them. Then you went to Detroit and got your butt smacked. Not good. Inconsistency dating back to the beginning of last year. Who's at fault? I know everybody has to have somebody to point the finger at. Do what you please. All I'm telling you is the reality of they're not a very good team right now. And yesterday, for the first time, you could see it was getting to Aaron Boone. He was asked by Brian Hoke of MLB.com, is your team starting to get comfortable losing?
No.
Why not?
I know them too well, and I don't think there's any getting used to freaking losing. Hell no. Get the hell out of here with that.
That's about as angry as you'll hear Aaron Boone.
Wow.
Is this just who the team is, he was asked.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out what kind of character we're made of. We're clearly in the midst of incredibly tough times. We've faced it throughout this season. And, you know, we're going to find out what we're made of and if we're the team we think we are. It gets no easier as we got to go to Buffalo and play an outstanding offensive club in Toronto. And, you know, we need to step it up. Period.
If they don't step it up, did you see what Toronto did to Boston over the weekend? They had 7 home runs yesterday.
Yeah. Was it 18 runs they scored?
Yeah. They destroyed the Red Sox. And finally, He was asked, how concerned are you at this point?
Yeah, very concerned. You know, obviously a couple of tough losses, obviously ending that game in Minnesota and scratch our way last night, but just not able to amount much against NOLA, who took, you know, took a lead and was on the attack and dictating counts right away. A lot of strike one, had good stuff today, but we got to find a way to get better.
That is tantamount to him ripping his team. Very concerned. He never says stuff like this, but he sees the writing on the wall. You can't, for a team that lives and dies with analytics, look at the numbers. You're one game over 500. That's really bad if you're the New York Yankees. Now, if the Tigers were one game over 500, you'd feel good about things. The Yankees, in every single analytic publication before the season, at least 95 wins. They were going to run away with the American League. Did everybody get it wrong? And when he talks about concentration, I don't get it. Concentration, why wouldn't you be concentrating? I think it's more of a problem of talent. That in this day and age in baseball, maybe that load angle swing or, you know, whatever, launch angle swing doesn't work as well. Now, a lot of teams are starting to hit better. Since the sticky stuff is going away, and they're going to start enforcing it tonight. The average for Major League Baseball went up 10 points in the last 10 days. 10 points. So you're going to see people hit, but your pitching is going to get hit too. This three-game set in Toronto is fraught. Fraught with things that could go wrong. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. We're going to come back. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, I wasn't moved, really, through the weekend. And because it was such a busy day, I thought maybe we'd wait until tomorrow. But one of my favorite actors of all time passed away today, so I wanted to honor him. And that is Ned Beatty. Passed away at the age of 83, one of the great character actors of all time. Probably one of the great supporting actors of all time. So I figured we'd take a moment to honor him with top five movies Ned Beatty was in. Can't really say Ned Beatty movies because they never made movies with him as the star, but you've seen most of them.
I'm going to need permission to cheat on this.
Please.
Okay.
Well, why don't we start with Rudy?
Yeah, Rudy. I love Rudy, much to my wife's chagrin, because whenever it's on, I watch it. And he, of course, played Rudy's dad in the 1993 movie Rudy. And it is number three.
Now, so obviously the level of character that he is varies movie to movie, correct?
Sure.
So I guess there's a chance I'll throw out a movie and you'll say, yeah, I love the movie, but his role wasn't prominent enough. Is that possible?
Yeah, or just it didn't move me because it's my list, but yeah.
Well, I know one movie that you really love is listed as his first. I believe you love it, and it's called Deliverance.
Yeah, it's one of the greats. It's number one from 1972. Bobby was the role, and some of the great quotes from the movie weren't necessarily by him, but surrounding what was going to be done to his character. So, Deliverance is number one. Good pull, Peter. Good pull.
How about Network?
Yeah, Network is number four. 1976, he plays the television executive and has this five-minute monologue in this movie, which is absolutely spectacular. It's one of my favorites. It was actually the first movie, Michael, that was on HBO when we first got it. We got cable in 1976, which blows people away. We got it very early on. And I remember on HBO, every Sunday at 8 o'clock, they would have, like, the big movie that they had. And Network was on, and my parents made me and my brother go to bed because they wanted to watch this movie that where's there going to be swear words on television, which would never happen. That's my memory of Network. It's number four from 1976.
Now, real quick, Don, he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that. Pretty amazing, too, because you look at the poster, four names on it. He's none of them, and was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
That's right.
But that was pretty cool.
Terrific movie.
How about Superman?
I thought about it, but his role was not like, he was kind of a dummy, and it wasn't a great movie.
You don't consider Superman a great movie?
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't consider it a great franchise at all. And when you look at the superhero franchises, I think that one comes off the worst of all of them. As a matter of fact, I don't think they've done a Superman franchise justice, to be honest with you.
But the best one was the Christopher Reeve one, which he was in, I think.
Right. That's absolutely. Right. But, you know, they got really bad when they threw Richard Pryor, and I think Superman, was it three or four, Peter? Is this
three.
I thought about it, but no. But it's a nice get. These two are my personal favorites. That's why I have them on the list.
I've got this. All right. So you've heard the song, "When the Moon Hits Your Eye Like a Big Pizza Pie." It's Dean Martin.
Yes.
Back to School.
Back to School. That's a great poll, Michael. 1986. He is the dean. His last name is Martin, so he's Dean Martin. They played a whole joke with that, and he was fabulous in that. And that I have at number two. Back to School, 1986, as Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of movies here to choose from.
Yeah, this one you're not going to get, though, because I'll tell you, I have it because it emotionally touched me, and I probably wouldn't have seen it if it weren't for the kids.
Oh, so Toy Story 3.
Yeah, Toy Story 3. He plays lots of Huggin' Bear, and he's it's great. He's a villain, which goes against type for him. And that's pulls at your heartstrings at the end of that one. So many, right, Mike? You've talked about it too. The fact that Toy Story 3, it's almost
troubling.
Shouldn't be for kids.
No, it's not for kids. Well, I'm glad that the stuff that's not for kids, they don't get.
Right,
it's dark, man.
Yeah, it gets very, very dark, and it's my favorite of the four Toy Stories. So I've got Toy Story 3, 5, Network 4, Rudy 3, Back to School 2, Deliverance 1, other ones that were considered, certainly Superman, All the President's Men. He was in a bunch of stuff, but he passes at the age of 83. Rest in peace, Ned Beatty.
Now, what a great career.
From what you have in front of you, Donald, I think you've been to McDonald's lately, right?
Well, you know what? Declan's over.
Okay.
So that is in the Happy Meal.
Right.
And that's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
But Declan thinks it looks so much like him, he is now passing that off as his own personal bobblehead. So I
figured
I'd debut it here on television.
Good, nice ego. before we go to break and we talk to Sarah Kustak, I have one quick question. Do you guys know what happened 34 years ago today?
So 34 years ago today would be 1987, right?
Mm-hmm.
June 14th, 1987.
You know what? That was right around when Mattingly was going nuts, but a little too early in a season for his Grand Slam record, right?
Not a real sports thing. Let's put it that way.
Not a real sport.
But it involves sports. It involves the Mets.
Involves the Mets, Don. 87.
Well, when you think of Doc Gooden getting out of rehab, was around that time.
It involves Roger McDowell.
Was that against the night against the Reds?
Nope. It involves Keith Hernandez.
Well, wait a minute. Roger McDowell and Keith Hernandez in 1987 June 14th, on Flag Day?
That's right.
What am I missing? Something with drugs.
No. It involves Kramer and Newman.
Oh, this was the date of the spit incident?
Yes.
So it wasn't real at all.
One of the best Seinfelds of all time. The second spitter.
Yep.
From the gravelly road. That's classic Seinfeld. That whole like reenacting the scene was terrific.
Oh, it's pinnacle, the pinnacle of Seinfeld.
Now, the episode would have been like, what, 94? But, yeah, they're going back to June 14th, 1987.
That's right.
A crucial Keith Hernandez error.
That's right. All right, let's take a brief timeout, and we will talk with the great Sarah Kustak of Yes, and we'll get her take on exactly where the Nets are without Kyrie and without James Harden. It's coming up next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, before we get to a phone call and then the Islanders, Kyrie Irving is out, according to Steve Nash, for Game 5. And when asked if he should be available anytime going on in the series, he said, that's above my expertise. So that doesn't sound great. No word yet on James Harden, whether he'll play tomorrow. But Kyrie Irving is definitely out. Definitely out.
Yeah, and so they play tomorrow, and then when's game 6?
I think 2 days later.
Days later.
Thursday.
So they're playing every other day, so that doesn't help.
Now, I'm told that Harden is currently working out as Nash is speaking, so we'll see. We will see. Let's go to Dave in Jupiter, Florida. Dave.
Michael, how you doing?
Good, you?
Hanging in there. A couple quick things. You guys had Chris Carlin on Friday, and he mentioned the town he grew up in. I grew up in the same town, and I know the people he worked with at the pharmacy very well. And this is about his bowling, that he claimed he was a great bowler. These guys have confirmed that he is a great bowler. He did, in fact, have a perfect game, and Don, you're going to have your hands full if you go up against them, so you should practice. That's number one. Number two, wow. Peter, your monkey arms are not that distracting. It's when you stroke them like they're the furry wall on Get Them to the Greek that becomes disturbing. So
wow,
that's all I wanted to say.
Well, that was good stuff. What a great phone call, Dave. Wow, a lot of information. And I agree. Peter does stroke his arms a lot like he's carrying mink.
I stroke myself.
I don't even want that as a job because it won't get played.
I have a tendency to, as I think many people do, touch my head, touch my arms. You know, I do that. Why
the Vinyls wrote a song about you.
Yeah,
that's right. I don't know if it would distract me oh my God, I don't even know what to focus on.
Well, he was just going after you. He's not a big fan. And listen, Carlin may be a great bowler. He does not have a 261 average.
He can't.
It's just not possible.
He can't.
If he bowls perfect games, he can. If he doesn't bowl,
he doesn't bowl perfect games either. Okay.
If you bowl a perfect game and then you bowl a 200, you know what? Your average is 250.
He's not bowling perfect games, Michael.
This guy just said he's bowled perfect games.
Well, usually you get like a ring when you bowl a perfect game. It's like a big deal. Like they write about it in a paper. We should be able to find it.
Andrew, we have the big fella on today?
We will. Yes.
Okay. Good.
I just feel that we would have known more sooner if he was this good.
Maybe
Don,
he's not a braggart.
Really?
Yeah.
Carlin,
you would tell us.
Don, where do you sit on this?
I think he's a good bowler, but there's no way he had a 261, so he lied about that. Now, maybe he did bowl a perfect game, but I think I would have known that. I've known the guy for 25 years. If I bowled a perfect game, it would come up like every other day. If I bowled a perfect game while I was doing the show, like every time Tiger Woods did something great, like DeGrom went out there and pitched grab, you're like, you know, listen, as somebody who pitched a perfect game, I could tell you those pressure situations are pretty high. Like, I would talk like I was a pro. A perfect game is a perfect game. You don't know somebody for 25 years and then you find it out in passing.
That's what I'm saying.
What is he, Andrew? Like if that was Andrew, I'd get it. Because Andrew doesn't tell you anything.
Right. So we know Andrew as well as we think we know anybody. And then we find out years later that he was hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce. We didn't know that. That's bigger than a perfect game.
But that's Andrew. Carlin's not Andrew.
Now, Anthony Greek, whose father owns a bowling alley.
Big one, too.
Said that
Carlin didn't bowl a league-sanctioned 300. Practice doesn't count. So you don't get the ring if you just kind of just did it, you know, practicing or just on a lark. So I guess it's possible, but I'm sorry. That would definitely come up in conversation with me. You wouldn't know me for too long without me throwing out I bowled a 300. I bowled a 225, and it's like the 17th time I've told it on the air.
Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill has listed Jacob deGrom as the 2-1 favorite to win the National League MVP. Not Cy Young.
Well, think about it, right? He's on a first-place team that now wins when he pitches, which is something that they didn't do for a long time, right? And he usually contributes in other ways. He's an outstanding fielder. He's got five RBIs. I'd have to think, like, who would be, like, they're actually talking up Brandon Crawford as an MVP for the Giants.
Tatis.
You know, but you're talking about a guy with 14 home runs, 41 RBIs. Posey's having a great year in San Francisco. As you said, Tatis is having an unbelievable year. And now that rounding third, Michael, is almost a thing. I think he's on pace for a backflip by the All-Star game. I don't know if you noticed the one yesterday or the other day. Again, who else? Am I missing anybody? So he's got to be in the conversation.
You know what? This is a weird one. Look at Castellanos' numbers. It's unbelievable what this guy's doing for Cincinnati. Islanders, big win game one, in stark contrast to what they did in game one last year in the bubble against Tampa Bay. So this team is poised, man. They're getting great goaltending, which you always tell me, Don, is the key to winning a Stanley Cup. So I think he could go there and not be accused of hyperbole.
Well, listen, you're going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions, who they played last year on their way to a cup. And you mentioned that, I think it was an 8-1, 8-2 loss in game one last year, was because Tampa had like a week off and the Islanders had a day and they had to travel to an empty Edmonton to go play their games in the bubble and got crushed in game one, lost in game two by a goal, and ended up losing the series in six. Now they had pretty much equal rest, and the Islanders played a stifling game that really limited Tampa's opportunities. And I brought this up earlier, and I love Eddie O, and I love Brian Boucher. They do a great job analyzing the game, but all I heard throughout the game, and I wonder if it drove Islander fans crazy because it bothered me, well, what? Tampa's out of sync. Something's wrong with the Lightning. Yeah, the Islanders were wrong with the Lightning. They got in the way of every pass, and then the Lightning tried to press, and now the passes are behind, and it wasn't working out for them until they got that power play late on what I thought was a bogus cross-check on Nelson, and then the Lightning score with less than a minute to go. Otherwise, they were going to get shut out. But the problem is they got to create more offense, the Islanders, because you don't want to be that good defensively. And Varlamov played tremendous, and he's been great so far since coming in that Boston series. And then you're holding your breath because the Lightning would have the extra attacker to tie the game late. So this Lightning team's not going away. I'd like the Islanders to be a little bit better offensively, but that's the way you beat Tampa. And if you could do that three more times, you're in the Stanley Cup final, and you could definitely do that to Montreal and Vegas. The Islanders fan has no reason not to believe this team can win the Stanley Cup. They've got the GM. They've got the coach that has done it, and they've got a structure. Everybody is bought in. Their goaltender's playing great. They can do it. And if they found a way to win tomorrow, you know, you're going to a place where you don't lose too often. You're 4-2 in the playoffs, up 2-0. And even with a split, you're putting yourself in excellent shape with home ice advantage the rest of the way. So you got to feel really good about this team.
Now, you're a big Kate Beckinsale fan, right?
Yes.
You've always told us that.
Sure, that's right.
She's one of your favorites in a world where there are no rules. Kate Beckinsale would be somebody you'd pursue. So tomorrow's the Islanders and the Lightning game two on one channel. Another channel is a Kate Beckinsale channel where she sits there for 3 hours and talks dirty to you. What do you watch?
No, I'm watching the Islanders. I watch that. I'd watch a test pattern before that. What do I need her to talk dirty to me on TV? What am I going to do?
She talks dirty to you, and she's has very little clothing on for 3 hours.
I wasn't prepared for this question, Peter.
I know.
Yeah, no, and by the way,
but I'm not really sure what I do with any of what's happening.
I think you know exactly what you do, so I'm asking, what would you watch?
How about 15 minutes of the Kate Beckinsale and 2 hours and 45 minutes of the game?
I mean, listen, there are commercial breaks during the hockey, right?
So yeah, but she's only really doing the best stuff during play.
I'm at the stage of my life now where that's not anything that I need.
Wow.
All right?
Peter, does this surprise you?
No, growth. Well... Wrong word choice, but you get the idea.
Yeah, sure, sure. I was wondering, so I thought I'd throw that question.
Well, you're really wondering, and I'm not even an Islander fan, but I'm a hockey fan, and these playoffs have been great. I'm looking forward to tonight. Nancy's
Beckinsale.
All engaged. The Canadians are in the conference, not the conference final, the third round.
This is Beckinsale, though. You never ever like even talk about stuff like that. You're a Beckinsale fan.
I'm a fan. Like I was a fan. She really hasn't been in anything recently. Mm-hmm. But if you want to say click Beckinsale, yeah. Right?
Click Beckinsale.
That's right. 06.
Right.
Or but again, Islanders. Like it's the same thing with the reason strip clubs didn't do it for me. Like let's say I've got a hankering for a hamburger, right?
Right.
And I go to McDonald's and they make a wonderful burger, right?
Right.
And I can't eat the burger, but there's going to be somebody that's going to wave it around my face.
Right.
No, thank you.
Interesting. All right, let's take a brief time out and shower off and towel off. 1-800-919-3776. I'm somewhat dubious on Don's take on this, but I believe him because that's what friends do.
And the family is upstairs watching.
I wish you loved the sport like I do.
Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Let's go to Ryan in Peekskill.
I wanted to know what your thoughts were on trading Aaron Judge and if Cashman should entertain it, if they really want to shake things up and do something, because I think this team is poorly constructed.
You don't trade Aaron Judge to shake it up. He's the best player on the team. That's not Gerrit Cole. But what the Yankees have to do is sit down and say to themselves, are we signing him long-term after next year? Because if we're not, then you have to entertain trading. If they make a decision that they are not going to be able to sign him, then trade him.
There's logic to it, because this would be the time to do it, but you are talking about going into a full rebuild then, because now you've lost your best offensive player.
The Michael Kay Show.
Peter, your monkey arms are not that distracting.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Should have given that guy a book. What a great call. Tremendous. Michael, Don, and Peter, we are with you until 6:30. Hope you're having a wonderful day. So I'm talking with Anthony during the break, and he said, I said, boy, I really feel tired. And he said, it's the weather. I said, looked out the window. It's gorgeous where I am. It's sunny, and the grass is bathed in sunlight. And he said, oh, it was bad when I walked in the studio. How is it where you are, Don? How is it where you are, Peter?
For me, it's just been a very strange day, kind of drizzly. Then all of a sudden the sun comes out, beautiful day, then back to cloudy again. It's very Jekyll and Hyde day. Right now, just a little overcast, but it's not raining.
Here it looks pretty bright out my living room window, actually.
That's right. So Anthony's wrong.
We do have breaking news.
What do we have?
According to Larry Brooks of the Post, the Rangers have agreed to terms with Gerard Gallant as their new head coach.
And that's pretty much what he's been saying for a while, right?
Larry said.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an excellent coach. And I thought that he'd be gobbled up by Seattle because the job he did with Vegas, getting to the Stanley Cup final. And he just won last week with Team Canada at the Worlds. He's had a tremendous amount of success. He's been in big markets before, and I think that would be an excellent hire. And Larry knows what he's talking about, so that would be a good hire for the Rangers.
Why was he let go by Vegas? It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, they made it just a structure. That was after the right after that debacle when they blew the 3-1 series lead. They changed some structure around. I thought it was a mistake, although Pete DeBoer's got him on the verge of winning a Stanley Cup anyway. So, but he's a really good coach. He hasn't been like, you know, a cup winner, but he's been a very good coach. Could work with young guys, work with stars. I think this would be a good hire for them. And he was hot. I mean, everybody was after him to get this gig. So that would be a good get for the Rangers. They interviewed it was him and Tockett, the only ones we heard publicly. So they really kept this close to the vest. But this was a candidate that I really thought was going to be tough for them to land because so many people were interested. But they were able to get him, so that's a good job.
It's so interesting when you think about, you know, sports in general with managers and coaches. One team's trash is another team's treasure. So Vegas got rid of him. You could say it was restructuring. They weren't happy with him. And you see it all the time. One team's not happy, and the other team says, oh, this is the guy for us. So I hope the Rangers are right. Again,
because
I don't know much
about him. Because they moved McPhee to the president, and it was just like a little bit of a shakeup. But you take a look, Vegas, first 3 years of existence, all playoff appearances, all well over 500. You know, he had 3 years in Florida, went to the playoffs 1 year with them. You know, he was a head coach in Columbus when in the infancy of that franchise. Been assistant with Columbus going back to their infancy. So it's a good hire. It's a good between. Like, it's not somebody that, you know, comes in, you know, like big time overbearing, and it's not somebody that's a neophyte. It's, so he's right there in between, and I think with his success with Vegas, that was going to get him a gig relatively soon. So 1 year out, next thing you know, he's now looks like the head coach of the New York Rangers.
Now, I remember when Larry started writing about him right after they shook everything up and got rid of Quinn, that Gallant is not like a big spotlight guy. He's not, you know, I don't know if I'm remembering correctly that this is not a guy who's going to be a front man for a Broadway team. He's just going to coach the team.
Yeah.
Is that how you remember him?
Yeah, that's how I remember him. Like, he's not like...
He's not Torts.
No, he's not Torts. He's not a big flamboyant guy, you know, screaming and yelling and get a lot of attention in the media. He's just a hockey coach. And that's what Quinn was. You know, Quinn was not big with the quotes and all that. He was just a good hockey guy. And this is somebody with, like I said, a ton of experience. You know, he was an assistant in Montreal. He was assistant in Columbus for a long time. He was assistant with the Islanders for a couple of years, too. But he had some relative success with Florida. Never gets out of the first round, but he did go to the playoffs with them. And then the Vegas stuff caught the eyes of a lot of people. So that and the job at the World Championships are where you get NHL players that are playing internationally, and went to Latvia, won a championship with them when many people thought they weren't going to win. They had to come from behind to do it. So, yeah, that's a good hire, and we'll see when they'll make an official announcement.
Michael Caso on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So Kyrie Irving, who hurt his ankle yesterday, is out. He's definitely out for Game 5. That's according to Steve Nash. James Harden is still up in the air. And when Nash was asked, is Kevin Durant going to have to do it alone? He said, no, the Nets are going to have to do it. So trying to take some pressure off of Durant, that's all well and good. Kevin Durant's going to have to do it.
Well, you're one of the best players in the NBA, right?
Well, here we go.
It's so unfair, Peter, right? Because now the narrative is being written, right? That, you know, Durant couldn't do it in Oklahoma City, had to join a super team in Golden State. Now, you know, forms a super team here with the Nets, and now he's got his chance. And maybe it's unfair because he's going up against a really good Buck team. But, and maybe, listen, go out there and score 50 points, and if you lose, you lose. But I think he's got to be the best player on the court for them to be able to win the series. And you do that, that's going to turn a lot of heads. That's going to impress a lot of people. All right, so Michael's been talking and touting this team that they're deep and there's a lot of good players here, you know, Harris and Green, and they've got some other players here. But it's about Kevin Durant now, and go out there and play lights-out basketball, because I think if they lose tomorrow, guys, it's over. And I disagree with Sarah. I don't think they'll win. I don't think if they're going to win this thing, they're going to win it. You know, I don't think Milwaukee's going to win a game 7, right? So I don't think that it'll take that long. I think if they win this game, they'll win the next game, and they'll move on. I think if they lose here, that'll be a couple of losses in a row, and now the Bucks are believing going back home. They'll end it in Game 6. If the Bucks don't end it in Game 6, I totally see the Nets coming back and winning Game 7 at home. So I think the Nets will win in 6 or lose in 6.
Yeah, that would be an almost impossible spot to drop this one and then go back to Milwaukee and win.
Now, but if you go back to Milwaukee and you have one of the other two guys back.
I guess. I get that. Listen, if I'm going into the assumption either one's going to play.
You know what? But this sets up, though, and I'm sure he doesn't care, but it sets up as a perfect narrative for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because one of the knocks on Kevin Durant, he had a pretty darn good team with Oklahoma City, almost knocked off Golden State, went to seven games, and didn't beat them to go to the finals, and then he joined them. So then when he left Golden State, he didn't just go to any team. He and Kyrie went someplace together to form another super team, and then James Harden got here. If he could, on his own sheer talent, and will them into the Eastern Conference Finals, that's all going to be put to bed, that he needs you know, complementary pieces, not complement, but star pieces around him. He has to have a ready-made championship. If he could do this himself, put them on his very slender back and carry them across the finish line without Kyrie and without Harden, you can't say that about him anymore.
Nope.
And if he loses, it's not his fault.
Well, it depends on how he plays.
The team.
Depends on how he plays.
Well, I mean, if he's terrible, but I'm assuming he's not going to be terrible because he's a great player. So if he loses and the Bucks go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, nobody's blaming Kevin Durant.
Again, it depends on how he plays. Yeah, now I don't think he'll be awful, but you don't think people will blame him if he's, you know, 25, 30 points, but, you know, 0 for 4 down the stretch, misses a game-winning shot. You don't think people will get on him for that?
Yeah, I don't think he gets an absolute – I hear what Michael's saying, but you're right, Don. I mean, it's always about the moment, right? What if you somehow get there and have the opportunity and it's your poor play that doesn't get you over the top?
Going to be fascinating. You know, game 4, 28 points. He was 9 for 25, which isn't good. 1 for 8 for 3-point. That's terrible. He had 13 rebounds and 5 assists, and he was swarmed by the Bucks defense. So Steve Nash and company, they have to come up with a better game plan if it's just going to be Durant.
And I think that's fair. I mean, it's tough to change the game plan in midstream, but they've got, you know, the day off here and get to work. And if he has those exact same numbers the next two and they lose, I think people will blame him.
Now, coming
but if
up
he goes
later
out
in this
and
hour,
does everything he can and it comes up short, that's a different story.
Later in this hour, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see the Nets at Barclays Center in Game 5.
I brought this up with Sarah, Michael. I wanted to get your opinion on it. How do you feel about D'Antoni interviewing today? I don't like it.
Now, do we know for sure he's in Portland? Or if he did it over the phone, I'm fine with
it. Well, I'm sure he did it. I'm sure he did it on Zoom. I don't think he flew across the country and is going to fly back.
Then I'm fine.
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's one day off. Huge game 5 coming up. He's not the head coach, but he's a pretty important assistant coach, right? Because
the fact that you've
got a neophyte as the head coach, do you want Peter, somebody who's putting together a game plan to help you get back ahead in this series? And he's focusing on something else on the day off?
Well, a couple of things here. Number one, I think you know what you're dealing with when you get an assistant that's a kind of like at this point a lifetime head coach. All right? I mean, Steve Nash knows what he's getting. This
is going to be part of the agreement too, Peter.
Exactly. Like if something comes up, you know I'm going to take that because that's the level I'm at. Number two, how much thought does D'Antoni really need to put into an interview at this stage?
He's got to know the whole team and
my guess would be he already knows a lot about them. And my guess would be they already have a lot of thoughts on D'Antoni. It's about having a conversation. I don't think he's going to be up all night studying. So my guess is he's given a few hours and then he's back to planning things. But, hey, Steve Nash is a big boy. This is his team.
I understand. But when you have somebody that has a history as a head coach, he was brought in to help Steve Nash. Maybe I'm being too hard on it because you're right. I didn't even think about it. He probably did it on Zoom. I'm sure he didn't go to Portland. He probably, you know, it's a different world. Listen, these guys got to be able to get their interviews in, right? But, geez, it's one thing if it's 2 days off. But you would think
In football, they wouldn't allow it.
And I think that's fair. And as unfair as it is for those candidates who want to be able to interview for jobs, you do have a job right now. That's assistant coach of the Brooklyn Nets, who've just lost two in a row, have to game plan with two of their best players out of the lineup, I would think it's all hands on deck, no?
Again, that might have been part of the rules of engagement to sign there as an assistant. If I have a chance to interview for a job, you have to let me interview. So I don't know. But I definitely see what you're saying. Speaking of head coaches, I feel so sorry for Michael Malone to have missed a big chunk of NBA history because, you know, his Nuggets got swept by Phoenix. And after the game, he said that Chris Paul is the greatest point guard who ever lived. So poor Michael, I guess, never saw Magic Johnson. He never got a chance to see Magic Johnson play. And he's anointing Chris Paul as the greatest point guard of all time. Michael had a very weird series.
Oh, my God, was it weird.
Starting with Michael, not Mike, and then coming down to, he said his team quit in game three. And then after game four, when they got swept, he kind of came out and said, I mean, we had no chance with the injuries that we had. Well, then they didn't quit, did they, Michael? Or Mike?
Let's be honest, this series was over during game three, once that Suns fan who said Suns in four and beat the hell out of that Nuggets fan, you know that series was over. You have to respond as a team. When one of your fans beats up another fan that badly, you have to respond, and they did. You guys saw the video, correct?
I did not.
No, I did not.
Neither of you saw this?
No.
Well,
by the way, the Nets have just put out their injury report for tomorrow, and they have said officially Harden is also out.
Okay, Harden's officially out.
Yeah, and so is Dinwiddie.
If you get a moment, guys, just Google Suns in four guy.
Suns in four guy.
It's one of the most epic beatings of a fan, and the reason I think, Andrew, tell me what you think. I think the reason fans were so okay with this beatdown is because the Nuggets fan who got beat up was clearly trying to cheap shot the Suns fan. And then he got responded to by catching nine unanswered punches.
Ooh, nine.
Yes.
I gotta take a look at this. Well, while I'm searching for, I thought a great job out of Kevin Harlan at the end of the game last night, paying homage to Marv. I don't know if you guys caught that.
No,
what'd he do?
Well, just pay tribute to him and that he's gonna be taking care of the rest of the way with the conference final and just how great he is and how much they're gonna miss him. It didn't seem like it was really planned either. He was kind of off the cuff. I thought it was a good job. You probably find that too.
Now, while Don's looking for this, if you find yourself with nothing to do today at about 7:30, I've been talking about the virtual Q&A on with Bookends, the
book
bookstore
signing
in New Jersey.
Yeah, sure,
well, that's tonight,
sure.
And they just texted me that if you want to tell people that there's still a couple of spots available that were opened up over the weekend. You could still join. Just go to Bookends New Jersey, their website, and you could sign up and be part of this virtual Gab Fest. How about that?
Who's hosting it? Who's hosting you there?
It's a guy who hosts all the the events that Bookends has. I have his name written down.
There you are. Hey, Yankee fans, Michael Kay. Join us for a virtual conversation with the television play-by-play broadcasters of the New York Yankees and host of Center Stage on the YES Network, and the host of the Michael Kay Show.
Greg Arabatidis. Arabatis. Greg Arabatis. He's going to ask every intimate question that you really need to know about me. So if you'd like to join in, and again, you don't have plans for this Monday evening, please feel free. Go to the website. My friend just tells me that Jack Leiter is pitching a one-hitter for Vanderbilt against Eastern Carolina, and that game is on ESPNU.
I mean, is that even news?
I see what you're saying.
That's just what he does.
Jack Leiter gets zeros.
That's exactly what I meant.
1-800-919-377. Speaking of the book, Andrew, pick a number. Any number between 1 and 20. Pick a number, Andrew. I want to hear it. We haven't heard your voice all day.
We'll go with 9.
9. 9. Every time I say Roger Maris. So the last giveaways were number 6 and 10. So I said Joe Torre and Phil Rizzuto, and Ryan Hurley texts me, why don't you say Wally Backman and Rusty Staub? So who's number 9 on the Mets, Don?
I can't think of it all the time.
All right, then it's Roger Maris.
Okay.
Well, you'll come up with it, and then we'll change it. 1-888-987-3776. The ninth caller gets a Center Stage book. How about that?
watching this guy just get destroyed.
It's tough, right?
Are you enjoying it?
No, enjoy is wrong. Because it is violence, and again, I don't know the whole story. I don't know if the guy deserved it.
Do you see, I was scolded in the paper for promoting violence on Sunday.
Yeah, that was
That was
a bit much.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which of my favorites? Was it a P or
the,
a B?
The one who wants, you know, is a big fan of Don.
Oh, that's Bob. Okay.
Steve Nash said Mike D'Antoni hasn't flown to Portland for his Trailblazers interview or missed a beat in Nets preparation. He added jokingly, I don't like to fine my coaches, but if Mike steps out of line, I'll levy a big fine. That's according to Brian Lewis of the New York Post. So it was a Zoom interview.
How do you, I know we don't need to get to go there yet, but how weird also will it be to sort of analyze this season if the Nets don't win, but it's with these injuries?
Well, then they get a pass. They do not get ripped. Like, if they didn't win and all three were healthy, they get crushed. Now there's a huge but.
But at the same time, it's not a success.
No, but there's a reason why he's not a success.
And you just hope that next year it doesn't happen.
Like somebody has trained his whole life to run a marathon and then breaks his leg in mile 10. It's not a success, but there's a reason.
Right. But next year you trot them out again and you just hope you get it right this time.
Number 9 is Nimmo. And then I'm going to kill my friend, by the way, because the lighter game that's on TV is from the weekend. I'm going to write him right
what?
Now.
What?
Yeah, oh, no.
You know. Tell your friend. Now, you know what? This is what happens. You get outed. Who is it?
I can't.
No, you got
Take
it.
A walk.
Because he harmed the show. Not intentionally, but still, you got to be held accountable. Who is it?
Kick rocks, you old bee. It's an old bee. Sure.
No, come on.
I'm not doing it.
Air them out.
And people can walk all over the show and just throw misinformation out there, and nobody's held accountable for it.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the way the world
then,
is.
You know what? Then that, you know what that becomes? It's your fault.
It is my fault. I take total responsibility. It's my fault.
All right.
We'll take a brief timeout. We're going to give away Net tickets, take your phone calls. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you, and obviously a saboteur out there that says he's my friend, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I'd like to congratulate Chris Adams for Brooklyn. He's going to the Net game tomorrow night, which is great. And now let's bring in the big fella, Chris Carlin.
Hi.
Chris, somebody called in and said that you are indeed a good bowler and that you bowl a 300 game, and Don thinks it's not the truth.
Well, listen, I was wrong about what I averaged. And it turns out I averaged a 316, believe it or not. So, unreal. I'm ready for you, big boy. Wow. And I'm very excited today. You know why I'm excited?
Why?
I just got an email confirming that tomorrow night by 10 p.m. in my hands will be a copy of Center Stage, my most fascinating interviews.
Really?
From A-Rod to Jay-Z.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes.
Who confirmed that with you?
Yes, a little gentleman named Jeff Bezos. Perhaps you're familiar.
Wow, he reached out.
He's going into space soon.
I've heard.
Yeah,
I've heard. Close. By the way, there was more about the aliens over the weekend. Did you see this?
No.
Basically people are confirming. Yeah, they could pretty much destroy the planet. So maybe we shouldn't be reaching out to them. With all the stories that have been coming out lately,
you know.
Let's try not to communicate with them.
Maybe all the more reason you should, though.
Yeah, you want to make friends.
I want to get on their good side. I mean, nobody's knows how to kiss ass like me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe you could bowl a couple of games well, with them.
Yes, as it turns out, the entire galactic future will be dependent upon me beating an alien in bowling.
Wow, it's like Space Jam 3.
Well, I get a lot of my science from Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Sure you do.
He was on Real Time over the weekend, and he made a fabulous point.
What was that?
All these alien sightings, they're all like little kind of blurred pictures. Like if they're there and they're there that often, why aren't we getting like great 3D pic, like tremendous video? We're getting.
He thinks
it's all just like radar glitches. He says everything I've ever owned needed to get rebooted, redone. They all have glitches. Stop it! It's not a thing. And it made sense.
Yeah, I don't know, Don. Jury's still out on science. I don't know.
Well, it's only out on if you're out on it, then you're out on it. But you know what? He knows a lot. He's smarter than I am, and it just makes sense. You know, there could be video of somebody getting beat up, Sons in Four guy, right?
Right.
I got a 2.5 minute video of a guy getting pummeled at a basketball game. Meanwhile, there's all these sightings of UFOs, and all anybody can get is like a blurred angle from a million miles away.
Stop. Carlin, where does the Sons in Four guy beatdown rank for you, crowd fights?
It's up there because he did get destroyed. I mean, there was the one a few weeks ago from the guy in San Diego who hit the Rockies fan, was it? Or was it
yeah.
the other way around?
Oh, yeah, that was ugly.
Yeah, that was bad.
I saw a lady at the Yankees game last week take a shot and fall straight backwards, and at a very fortunate landing, could have been much worse.
That Somebody was Jody, by her? The way. People don't know that was
that
Jody.
Was Jody.
Yeah, that was Jody.
Drunkenly starting a fist fight. I did not expect that.
Yeah, it's not her way, but you know, she had a little too much.
You know? Yeah, that is an upset. That is an upset.
What's bothering you sports-wise?
There are a lot of things that are bothering me sports-wise.
Talk to us.
The Yankees are bothering me sports-wise. You and I are in lockstep on this whole Aaron Boone thing. You do
not. Oh, boy,
not...
that frightens me.
Well, you know what? Buckle up, cowboy, because you and I are in it together on this. This is a complete and utter joke that people want to blame Aaron Boone. Come on. It's not Aaron Boone running the bases.
But
it's Aaron Boone,
like Don said, they want to have somebody, a face to blame, and that's the easy face to blame.
I tweeted this yesterday, and I know you guys were talking about it a few minutes ago. Rougned Odor's been in the big leagues for 8 years. He never knew that you shouldn't run to third when the ball's in front of you? I mean, come on. What are we doing?
But I'm going to defend the fans. You're right. You and Michael are absolutely right. And if they fire Boone, they'll bring in another guy that's just like Boone, right? So it's not going to really change anything. But, you know, You're rooting for a team that fired their manager after a Game 7 loss in the League Championship Series because it was looked upon as not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. And the team has not been able to match it over the last, you know, 3.5 years since then. And we do see managers sometimes, or coaches, be held accountable for what their players do. You're a football guy, Chris, right? When a team commits a lot of holding penalties or just commits a lot of penalties in general, what do? We blame the coach.
Yep.
They're not coach right. Bad coaching always leads to bad penalties and bad decisions on the field. That just happens. So why are the Yankees exempt when you've seen managers and seen teams fire coaches for a lot less?
Yeah, I think it's a little different in baseball, though. I mean,
there's so much coaching that goes into football. And the way if you hold or something like that, that could be taught. Advancing to third
also,
on a ball in front of you. I mean, come on. It's little league level.
And football doesn't have minor leagues or, you know, quite literally instructional leagues, you know? So
I know, but that whole thing, he's a major league player. He should know how to run the bases. Yeah, and you would think an offensive lineman wouldn't hold, but they do, and they do commit dumb penalties, right? And the dumber the penalty, the worse it is on the coach. No, I'm not saying it's right, and unfortunately, these managers are neutered because, you know what, as a manager, you should be able to pull Odor out of the game or bench him for the next game because he did something stupid. But no, you can't do that. You got to defend. You got to go in the press conference and defend him.
Yeah, it seems like the only guy that they're not shy about criticizing is Clint Frazier. They got no problem there. But other than him, listen, I don't love it either, but I don't think that's going to solve a damn thing. And they're not hiring anybody of consequence. So I think
and if they do, then they're going over Brian's head.
Probably. Well, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. You know, again, skating to a degree. But that's it's a complete.
But one thing that Hal has done, and you have to give him some credit for it, he's let his baseball people run the baseball. So he has to decide when he steps in and goes, this isn't working. But he has given Brian all the power when it comes to baseball.
He has, and I'm fine with that. But and I'm not one of the people that's going to get on him for not going over the 210 either. Okay, you should be able to win with this. The problem is how the resources have been distributed is poor. It's poor. And I also don't think we can, you know, while the pitching was holding him up for a while, it's not now. It's not now, and not over the last couple of weeks.
Nah, it's going to be hard to pitch that well over the course of a season. You just knew that when the offense corrected, the pitching would return to the mean.
Well, especially when they stop cheating. So, you know.
Stop it.
Corey Kluber tied to that guy in Arizona today.
That's right. Really? That's an ENN feature.
What guy in Arizona?
The clubby in Arizona who had the text messages with Garrett Cole.
Anaheim,
whatever.
Come on, stop
it. Same
thing. It's not the same thing. It's a different state. It's a different city.
If it's Carlin, not New Jersey, it doesn't matter to
right.
me.
Carlin calls that flyover land, okay?
Exactly.
He's a bi-coastal kind of guy.
Exactly. Arizona, please.
Is it even a real state?
I don't even know it exists. I don't know if it's actually there.
I think you would do very well in 117 degree heat.
Let me tell you something. At the All-Star game in 2011,
right,
when I was a svelte 282,
oh, nothing.
Walked a mile and a half in 109 degree heat, and I am here.
This is how would it go now at 318?
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
I would probably
probably not a half hour, half a mile, probably not even.
And you would just expire.
Probably just the fat would melt right into the sidewalk.
Oh my,
that's what would happen. I think
you wouldn't even give yourself a chance.
I mean, I'd give myself a fighting chance, sure, but I know that my will is not, you know, the greatest. So,
I hope you have a will.
Your wife does.
Ayo!
I'm here all week. Anyway, yep. Chris, we'll be tuning in at 6:30. It should be great.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you then.
All right. Be well, my friend.
Love you. Love you. My book's coming tomorrow. I'm excited.
Oh, there you
all
go.
All right, calm down. You can only do so much.
Mm. All right, you know what? Speaking of a book, before we go to Ian, and I want to give one more away. I'm just in that kind of mood.
All right, relax. Oh, my God.
987-3776. 1-888-987-3776. And let's do it. First one, first phone caller gets a book. Yeah. And if you want to be part of the virtual Q&A that starts at 7:30, Bookends New Jersey, go to their website, sign up. A couple of people have. There's a couple more slots open. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a party, a carnival. Anyway, when we come back, ENN right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.